What is up, guys? Gareth here from Gaming News Weekly. I just want to give you a heads up. So, it's a slightly shorter episode this week. We encountered a few, technical glitches. But, in the interest of making sure that you guys still get an episode, we're still pulling this one out. Now, just to let you know that the episode finishes at the end of a news story regarding Xbox. Naturally, of course it does. We love Xbox here at Gaming News Weekly. Still not sponsored, by the way. So, just to let you know, it ends there. But you still cover all the usual stuff, how me and Matt are doing, what we've been playing, and that's quite critical because this week's pretty good. And also some news stories too. There's also some feedback from you guys as well in there too. So listen all the way through. We really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hopefully back to normal next week. Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
Well, it's good to be together, Matt. How are you doing, man?
I can't complain. It's a little hot. Actually, by a little, I mean a lot.
So you're having some AC issues, I believe.
I'm having some AC issues in the middle of summer. And you know what? I feel like you're even worse because you don't even have AC. So I feel privileged over here.
So for our American listeners, because our British listeners are suffering with me, it was like 30 degrees today. It was so, so hot. And unlike every house in America... 30 degrees Celsius. 30 degrees Celsius, yeah. 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
For my American listeners.
Yeah, you all use the wrong thing. So 30 degrees Celsius, and we don't have AC in our houses because it's only this hot for like 3 weeks of the year. Normally, it's actually been roasting hot pretty much since lockdown started. So it has been hot here today. So we are both very warm at the minute. So... Matt, I know, is desperate to probably, A, get his AC fixed, and B, get out of that room, because it is hot.
Yeah, I finally got my little gaming, streaming room, and the AC goes out in it. So now I'm just, this is like the worst time for this all to come together, to happen.
Yeah, well, it's funny to watch. You just, start off nice and cool, and then you're just going to become a puddle. I'll just be, yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, there's been some stuff happening in the news, so we're going to look at some of those things. Some things big, some things, in my opinion, a little bit insignificant, but more on that later. Shots fired already. Matt, because there's only the two of us, and I was a bit mean last episode, I'm going to let you go first. Tell us what you've been playing, because actually I forgot about that. The heat is just getting to my head.
I feel you. All right. So first, we're going to start off with Grounded. After we actually recorded the last episode, you, me, Gareth, and my wife all got off. We all got on Grounded. And, it's very, very fun. Now, I do want to start off by saying it is a beta. There is no other way to describe it that it is a beta. We had... the spiders glitching out. It's hard to jump over some of your fences. It has some rough patches to it, but the overall foundational core of the game is fun. And I think the most appealing aspect of it is the actual setting itself. Of course, because it's nothing really new, because it's a survival game. But I think within the setting itself, makes it new and makes it fun and enjoyable and something new to get into. And I actually quite enjoyed it. I will not be playing it for a little bit because at the very end we lost our backpacks, lost all of our stuff, and it really was just a huge heartbreak. But
you got a little bit salty.
Yeah, I was a lot of bit salty. But I'm never gonna come back to it. Once it gets a few more updates and it gets a little more stable and works out some of the kinks, I'll end up coming back to it. Next is Anthem again. I went in and played a few more missions. I'm still actually really liking it. I am trying to convince people to try to play it and buy it and play it with me now, because I actually really enjoy it. My brother-in-law, I got him to get it, but he's been playing it a little bit, and he actually says the same thing I did. He's like, by the first hour or two of gameplay, you can't tell that this is a bad game. And I was like, that's what I've been saying. It's a great, like, the foundation of the game, the shooting, the flying, the graphics, everything is pretty awesome within the beginning phases of Anthem. But then again, all the reviews say, you know, once you get to the end game and everything, it just kind of drops off. But so I've been enjoying that. I'm still working through that. And actually, I came back to a game that I haven't played in a hot minute is Forza Horizon 4.
Still looking beautiful.
It's still, and on the Xbox One X, even looks even better. I was switching back and forth between the 60 frames, the performance mode with the 60 frames per second, and then the 4K resolution. And both of it's just absolutely amazing. The game is absolutely gorgeous. And I don't know what brought me back to wanting to play Forza Horizon. I just want to do something racing wise. But the thing is, for the most part, I've kind of done everything within Forza Horizon except for like one of the two the free stuff that was added into it. But I haven't completed the Lego expansion. Don't know why, but I don't want anything to do with the Lego expansion. I wish they just would have added more of the real UK or something within, you know, your guys' geography instead of like a fake Lego world.
No, Matt. There are real Lego worlds here.
I don't.
There's one in Windsor. Look it up.
I'm ignoring that comment. So, I've ignored the Lego one, even though that's really the DLC I haven't beat or 100%ed because I beat Fortune Island. So I've just been doing the seasonal races, and I actually for the first time finally tried the Eliminator, the Battle Royale.
Oh yeah,
Forza
yeah,
Horizon.
Yeah.
And it's a mixed bag for me. Because at the first time I played it, I literally drove around trying to find someone to race me. And I couldn't find anybody. And every time I found someone, they were already racing somebody else. So I couldn't race them. And by the time I found someone else, they were already in like a level 4 or 5 vehicle. And I was still in like the level 1 vehicle.
You know, the mini thing, yeah.
Yeah, and they demolished me. So I was like, okay, well, that wasn't fun. So the next one, I try to find people again, and I couldn't find anyone for like 2 rings. And I actually ended up getting to the final showdown without racing anybody with the little mini. And then I lost at the end. So I played the third one, and I finally got to the point where I found someone with a head-on-head race. And it was fun. I lost. So then I did it again. And then I won, and it was exciting, and then I lost again. It was a mixed bag because it was hard to find people. When I found people, either I got destroyed or I hardly won. So maybe I'm just really bad at racing games, though, but it was a mixed bag. That's about as much as I can say on it.
Yeah, I must admit, I've got a slightly different view of that Eliminator thing because I played that literally, I think, the day after it came out. I think I spoke about it on the podcast. Yeah, it was okay, but what I did find was that people were just wrecking me, and I don't know what it was. I can't put my finger down on what it was. Like, I won a couple of like head-to-heads, but on the whole, you just got smashed. So I never really understood it, but interesting. Okay. If that's what you've been playing. I've been playing some slightly similar and yet different in so many ways. So, I've been playing Grounded as well. My opinion on it is, damn, those spiders are scary. Particularly when there's nothing there and then they're there! And it's like, ah! Sorry for the spike.
And you have no armor or weapons?
No armor, no weapons. And as far as it really matters, if you had any armor or weapons, it still doesn't matter. They're still going to one-hit you. I think there are so many things in that game slightly unbalanced. Spiders being one. Your ability to collect items of enough sort of significant value. Because it doesn't take long to start building the basics, but the bigger stuff does require an awful lot more that tends to be around these spider nests. And to be honest, you've just got very little chance early on into a run of getting anywhere near the sap, the acorns. And, oh man, just don't start anything with the ants because they will just beat you to smithereens. It's ridiculous. So, it's... I'll be honest, I think I really clung to something that you said on in your piece on it. The world is incredible. Actually, it's very pretty. And it's a little bit... There are areas that are a little bit repetitive, but otherwise, it's a very pretty game. So I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with it, where they take it. Their story mode... there's story in it, but to be fair to them, you get so far in the story, and actually the characters put their hands up and say, "We're not quite ready with this yet, but it's coming. Keep looking." You know, and that's if you didn't realize that one of the other robots in the building with you is actually trying to kill you as well. But I found that out the hard way the first time. Anyway, so I played Grounded. Another game I've been playing, some of you might have seen me streaming, Skater XL. So this is the Skate-like spiritual successor, because they are bringing out Skate 4, but this is like the Skate-esque game. And man, why can't I put this game down? So I'm just going to reel...
I was surprised that you put so much time into it. I thought it was going to be like a one-off thing.
I'll be totally honest, I think I must have put 20-odd hours into this game, and I'm not joking, I think I've put 20-odd hours into this game. So, let me just describe it for you, and then you can sort of tell me why on earth I'm still playing this game. So, there's not many maps, the graphics are a bit meh, you glitch like so often. So one glitch that was annoying me on my stream yesterday was actually a visual glitch where like lines appeared across, I think they call it tearing, don't they? And literally it was showing up on my screen, and I thought, oh, maybe I've got a HDMI cable out. No, it was appearing on my Twitch stream too. But for some weird reason, I love this game. So you roll up to a rail, you tried something, you bail. You roll up to the rail again, try it again, you bail. You roll up to the rail, you nail it. And I tell you what, it is so satisfying. Ridiculously satisfying, in fact. And I just can't get enough of this game. It's actually really good. You know, I'm really hoping that it's supported heavily, like the PC version is, and that includes mods. I'm hoping that multiplayer also comes into the fray, because I want Matt to play with me, and I just want it so. This game is so good, and I can't tell you why, because in so many ways it's bad. But the community loves it too, so I don't feel too bad saying it. It's not like Mass Effect Andromeda when I said it was a good game, or Matt saying Anthem's a good game, and that being a bit,
I never said Anthem was a good game.
Yeah, you did. I'll edit it in. Skater XL. Would I recommend it? It's not my game of the week. We talked about this prior. It's not my game of the week. Not going to be for everybody. It isn't. That is just a fact. I would watch somebody streaming this game. I would watch... don't watch a review. I watched a review from it was IGN. I didn't want to name them, but I'll name them. Watched a review from IGN. And actually, their review sort of missed so much of... Like they should have done what I just did then. Tell you all the things that aren't very good about this game. Get that out of the way, because actually your experience, the gameplay, you know, what you do sort of massively outweighs the negatives. So, been playing some Skater XL. I've also been playing at Carrion,
Would you say if they enjoyed the Skate series that they would love Skater XL?
Yes. Yeah. I do. And I think if you're looking for something that's a little bit more, I don't want to say realistic, because it's still a little bit non-realistic in terms, in some ways, but, you know, if you get a little bit of a kick out of precision, you know, what you do in the controller, with the controller in your hands, if you care about that mattering, then actually it's pretty good. You know, it's almost like the same feeling you get in a first-person shooter, like a really twitchy first-person shooter. You know, really being good with your your thumbs and your fingers on the triggers. Actually, it sort of gives that same feeling. So, you know, or if you're looking for something that's slightly different to anything else that's really out there at the minute, Tony Hawk's going to come out and it's going to sell just millions more than this game. Just and the developers know that. Just they know that already. But they are two different games, and that is the real key. They're not the same game. They shouldn't be compared. They should be played hand in hand. Like, oh, I'm going to mess about on Tony Hawk's, build up some mega combos, grind, jump 65 foot in the air, do 9,000 spins, and then drop back down. And actually, on Skater XL, you're just looking to have a bit of a good time, a chilled out session, maybe. I don't know. I can't necessarily totally 100% say anybody's going to enjoy it, but I would watch somebody play it, and I think you will see very quickly if you're going to enjoy it or not. Yeah, so played Skater XL. I've also played Carrion, which is the sort of roguelike game where you're the bad guy, you're the enemy, you're the scary monster, and you're actually quite gruesome. It's pretty good, actually. I played about half an hour, and then I encountered an enemy that was a bit too hard, and I got mad, so I turned the game off. No, I had to go, actually. I can't remember why.
I was about to say, what a professional.
Yeah, always the best here. Yeah, but it's pretty good. The graphics are pretty cool. They're sort of like pixel arty. Yeah, the enemies are a little bit dumb at times, but then all of a sudden the difficulty just spikes and you're like, where have these guys come from? And where has the game told me what I can do to beat these guys? Because there isn't anything. Yeah, there's little to no story, so don't really expect to be reading passages about what's happening.
You're a monster trying to kill people. I think that's story.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems like, because like I say, I got so far in, it seems like the story is sort of explaining how you became alive or became existing, wanting to kill everybody. So yeah, there's Carrion and Siege. Got back into Siege, and it's been a while. That showed.
We're rusty.
Yeah, I got a couple of nice kills, but no, it just was, yeah, the siege gods were not on my side in the last time I played yesterday, so yeah, but do you know what, it's still a good game. It's still going to be one of my favourite games, one of my most frustrating games, but also one of my favourite games. Cool, okay, well, that's what we've been playing, and we're going to jump into the news now. And I'm going to let Matt sort of kick things off and his opinion on it, because I feel like I've been talking for ages. So the huge, biggest news of this week so far, Spider-Man is currently, and I'm saying currently because you never know, is exclusive to the PlayStation system within the Marvel Avengers game. That's the Crystal Dynamics, Square Enix game that was meant to come out and then didn't come out, and then it's been pushed back, and then nobody actually got to play it, and then actually what they played wasn't necessarily what they showed. You can see my opinion on this game. Matt, what on earth is happening here, and what's your opinion on it?
Well, like you said, PlayStation's gonna get the character of Spider-Man exclusively to their console, and this is from everything that's been put out, it's not going to be a timed exclusive. Spider-Man is going to be a pure exclusive character to only the PlayStation game. Now, a lot of other news medias have left out that PlayStation's also getting a slew of other exclusive content, such as access to, you know, different legendary outfit, different emotes. They're going to get post-launch characters early. They're going to get credits and other rare outfits for free. That old stuff doesn't really matter to me because that stuff is... that's exclusive. But it's more cosmetic stuff, so it's a little less intrusive. Now, even though I do say that, I don't really have a care about Spider-Man being exclusive. And maybe I'll get some hate for that because I know there are some people out there that are diehard Spider-Man fans that only own an Xbox or only have a PC, and they're going to be hurt by this exclusive deal. But technically, by all technicality, Sony has every right to make it an exclusive simply because they own the rights to Spider-Man. And I think that's maybe not what it boils down to, but I do think it's a contributing factor. I'm looking at it like there's a ton of other characters. I've played other Marvel games without Spider-Man, so as long as it doesn't affect the core game itself, I'm thinking of it like Spider-Man is just going to be another character to play with maybe slightly different stats. You could compare this to like Call of Duty keeping out the game mode of the Horde mode out of Call of Duty Modern Warfare until a year later, and you could compare that because it's I would say that's a little bit bigger than Spider-Man because it's a whole mode compared to Spider-Man just as a playable character with maybe different stats. And maybe I think you have a similar feeling that I do, that it's not really a huge deal to us. But I could see why some people are just diehard Spider-Man fans and it's going to hurt their feelings and, you know, for them not to be able to play it on their console of choice. Because, I mean, let's be honest, everyone can't afford two different consoles, every console. Some people can only get what they can get, and it's going to hurt some people that can't get their hands on Spider-Man. So I guess overall it's just, sorry from my end.
Fair enough. I think, so my qualm isn't with PlayStation because I kind of feel like this maybe didn't come from PlayStation because, because PlayStation, Sony, sorry, I should say, let's target the right people, have allowed Spider-Man to be in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which is a Switch exclusive. And actually, this game's going to be on more than just the Xbox. And is Spider-Man being in a Marvel Avengers game on the Xbox really going to have that much of an impact on what people are going to put their, you know, money towards this sort of winter? This for me, the blame sort of falls at Square Enix. And I'll tell you why I sort of was a bit, you know, meh about this, if that's the correct term, the technical term. Who really wants this game right now on what we've seen? On the gameplay that they've shown, which hasn't really been that exciting, and then IGN even came out and said we were only allowed to play so much of it. You know, I'm just thinking, what a Square Enix, and if it is Sony, what are they playing at? Because they are literally putting people off of a game that, I've got to be honest, they can't afford to be put off by, because this could flop big time. And I think I'm talking Anthem, we're talking Destiny level flop. And yes, okay, we can turn around and say in 2 years' time it'll be an amazing game and everyone will be playing it, and 6 years later they'll still be producing, you know, DLC for it like Destiny's at. But actually, we're not gamers, and I'm so proud of us for this, we are not putting up with that kind of rubbish anymore. And I can just see people just see the writing on the wall with this and just go, yeah, I'll pass or I'll wait. You know, I think if to play, you know, on the slight console war side, if I was Phil Spencer right now, I would be running up to Square Enix, knocking on that door and saying, hi guys, socially distancing obviously, knocking on the door and saying, hey guys, you've kind of really alienated my player base and that kind of annoys me. So how about this? Month down the line, this game's on Game Pass. Because that, to be honest, is the only way I'm playing this game, is if it's on Game Pass. And this, I think you're right, if it was just, you know, Spider-Man's in the game for every platform, and I think, I really hope they see some of this negative feedback and change it. And I really hope they do. They won't, but I really hope they do. And then what PlayStation guys get is, you know, the PlayStation game that Insomniac, that spider suit is available to those guys to play in, you know, or maybe Venom is available to them. I don't know, just someone that's not Spider-Man, because I guarantee you, or I really want to say that if you look at the money made for Sony, Spider-Man has got a massively outweigh any of the other Marvel characters, particularly those that have had their own sort of films, TV shows, etc. I mean, PlayStation and Spider-Man go hand in hand. The PlayStation 3 used Spider-Man's font across the console. It was in Spider-Man's font. So nobody can take them apart from each other. And I'm not saying to those PlayStation fans out there that we're trying to take your character away, we're trying to take your sort of mascot. No, I'm not trying to say that. I think, yeah, it's not good. It's not good, I'll be honest. And then it also makes me think, maybe Spider-Man just doesn't really play a part in this. Maybe he's just, you know, like, if he's in the story, he can't be a huge part of the story because, you know, exactly. He'd need to be an Xbox version.
Character with different stats and different moves, and that's about it.
Yeah, but then that means that, you know, they'll have done voice lines, they'll have done, you know, scenes, story scenes, which means Xbox guys and PlayStation guys, PC guys, sorry, and Stadia, I saw that The Verge mentioned. What's that? Those users are never going to see those scenes apart from on a YouTube clip. Like, at least give Xbox a, you know, exclusive character. I don't know.
I guess, I mean, you went a lot more in depth. I guess I'm seeing it as just, I don't see it as a big deal. I mean, I do see it as a bad thing. It is a bad thing. I mean, I don't know why they are keeping the exclusive out of all these gamers' hands. I mean, like, they did the exclusive outfits and the emotes and, like, usual exclusive stuff, and I think that's fine.
And so do I, yeah, yeah.
And I'm afraid I came off a little harsh during my first little segment. I mean, I do care that Spider-Man is getting separated. I do wish that the Xbox and the PC world would have Spider-Man in there, but I don't see it as a huge deal, because if you could just take a character out, like you said, he can't be that huge of a part of the game. And to me, like I said, he's only maybe a playable character with different stats and different moves. But like I said, I do see why that could be a determining factor for some people.
Yeah, 100%. But I think if I'm Square Enix right now, I am trying to make this game look as good as possible. Because
it hasn't looked good.
Well, they've lost me as a, whatever small chance they had, they've lost me. And hopefully Phil turns around and says, whack it on Game Pass, and you'll make everybody feel better. We chucked this out to you guys on the Facebook page, and obviously your boy Joe Davila came out, and
your boy,
with a pretty I don't know. He's not blurring the lines here, is he? He's a fairly straight shooter, yeah. And this is to quote Joe: Sony being petty once again. I think we can see why you're saying that, Joe. I think we can, but I think it's fairly clear maybe me and Matt aren't necessarily in agreement with you on this one. We still love you. But yeah, I mean, certainly me. I don't necessarily agree.
In all honesty, I really didn't consider the fact of your perspective of it being a Square Enix Crystal Dynamics
Square
issue,
Enix.
maybe not Sony's issue. I mean, we don't know that for sure. No one's come out and said anything, but I've never really considered that. And that's, I mean, you might be 100% correct on that because
probably
because, like you said, I think the greatest thing that you utilized is the Switch's Marvel Ultimate Alliance had Spider-Man in it. So now is Nintendo kind of playing like the neutral zone and both Microsoft and Sony don't mind putting their stuff on Nintendo consoles? Because like Xbox has put their exclusive like Ori Cuphead on Nintendo and PlayStation start going to the PC side. So I feel like Nintendo might be more of a neutral ground, and it might be that the Xbox is also getting this game is why they might have pulled, you know, Square Enix to be more a little more assertive with their exclusive deal, maybe.
Cuphead's on PlayStation now.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Good for them. That's an amazing game. I'm glad more people can play that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we've said a lot on this. But I think the onus now, it really is on Square Enix to show this game off. You know, and you could say it's a bit unfair because they've, not had any summer conference to show it off. But last E3, I nearly fell asleep watching it. It just made very little sense what they were trying to do. So, and then to find out IGN goes and takes part in a gameplay preview and things have changed, things aren't the same, and then they're told to stop playing sort of halfway through. I don't know. We'll keep our eyes peeled on this one. Fingers crossed, because they've not come out and said anything straight away. Come on. Like, do the good guy thing.
And if you listeners have any input, let us know, because I mean, I'm a little wishy-washy on it. Like, Gareth has, it seems like, a different point of view than a lot of other people that are just overall angry at the whole situation. If you have something to input on, we would love to hear it and put it into our next podcast. Just let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, going from one company that's clearly not listening to anything anybody wants from their player base.
About this.
Well, I tell you what, I was reading this before we came on air, and when I saw a couple of things, I'm equally a little bit excited. Matt, Microsoft's xCloud, which I want to say October last year, was a little bit of a pipe dream. There was a guy and he during one of the Xbox sort of shows, and he hands to the presenter a phone and an Xbox controller, and they're playing Forza Horizon on the phone, and you're like, yeah, cool, definitely edited. Matt, we've got a release date for Microsoft xCloud game streaming service, and it is on September the 15th, which is absolutely crazy. It is so exciting. There is a slight negative. It is only available on Android. iOS support is not available at launch. And if you've got Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, this is included for free. You can play all your Xbox Game Pass games, 100 plus games, from day dot. Matt, how huge is this?
It's absolutely huge. First off, it's a brilliant move just to include it into the Xbox Ultimate. I think that is the smartest move. Instead of having you to pay an extra fee, like Stadia, you have to pay for more games. It's dumb. But this is also going into the whole idea of what Phil Spencer has wanted to do, is get people into the ecosystem and play it. Because also what comes with Game Pass Ultimate is Xbox Live Gold, the Game Pass for Xbox, and the Game Pass for PC, and then you'll have xCloud. So there's like three different avenues for you to play Microsoft's games on their service and for you to get entrenched into the ecosystem. It's a brilliant move. I love it because I'm already an Ultimate subscriber, so it's just another way for me to play. Now, of course, the biggest caveat is that it's only available on Android. Unfortunately, I am an iPhone user, so I am not going to be able to participate with the phone version, so I'm already on the prowl for an Android tablet. And actually, there's been back and forth between Apple and Microsoft because now it is important to mention, I want to go back a little bit, that this launch is technically considered a public beta. It's still considered a beta because it's not going worldwide. It's only in 22 countries, and that might seem like a worldwide release, but it's not because it's excluding a lot of people. It's going to a public beta because before this, it was very private. You had to get an invitation in.
Didn't get it.
So, yeah, don't worry. Me neither. So, they're still working their way up. They're still fixing kinks, but this is exciting, and there's been back and forth between Apple and Microsoft on why this isn't coming to iOS, at least right now. And it probably won't come into iOS, at least for another hot minute. Apple said that it just doesn't conform to their policy of their app store, and the main concern is that Apple can't review and can check the consistency and the quality of every game on Game Pass. That was their excuse. You could put a game on the Apple Store, but then if it's one game, they can play through it and make sure everything's good. Well, they can't do that with Game Pass. And Microsoft basically said, well, that's dumb because it's graded by ESRB and stuff like that. And I mean, and it's not just Microsoft having this issue. Stadia's had this issue. Steam had this issue for a little bit. So it's just the iOS store policy, and honestly, that's why a lot of people don't like it, because of their strict policies. So I'm on the prowl to get a Android tablet just to try this out. I'm very excited. I mean, to play your games, if you're going out of town, going to a hotel, it's easier to throw your tablet inside with a controller rather than to pack up your laptop or your Xbox or something. I'm just excited because this is what I think the future is going to be, that it's not going to replace console gaming or PC gaming like Stadia thought, because Stadia is wrong and Stadia is garbage. It's here to supplement it, at least for right now. The tech isn't here to replace everything. Google can try to set a foundation, but right now it's too early, it's too garbage, and it should be supplementing our console and PC gaming rather than try to take it over. And I think that was a brilliant move on Phil Spencer, because now you still have your console to play, you still have your PC with your Game Pass, and now you have this to supplement it, even if it's not 100%. I'm over the moon about this. I mean, I'm literally going to buy a brand new tablet just to play this and to take it around with me. And not to mention, the amount of games on here are huge compared to Stadia. It already has more games on xCloud than Stadia does on its whole platform. Stadia is garbage.
I'm just going to say a couple of games. So, Grounded.
Yep.
Outer Worlds.
Yep.
Halo.
Which the Master Chief Collection has like 6 games inside of it.
Exactly. Quantum Break, play it. Sea of Thieves. Destiny 2. Destiny 2, because obviously that'll be on Xbox Game Pass. Ori, yeah, both Oris.
Forza.
This is just like,
yeah, and a lot of these are exclusives too.
Yeah,
like unbelievable. It's a great deal.
Like, I think even if we'd mentioned 3 of those games, right, it's already better of a service than Stadia. And this just goes right back to what they were saying. Basically, we don't care where you're playing our games, as long as you're playing the games you want to play, where you want to play them. And fair play to them, because they're sticking to that. And yeah, I just think it's a bit ridiculous. It's a bit crazy. You know, they've announced 36 games of the 100 game list. So there's still games to be announced. So I think, you know, I'm I've already got a Android tablet, so I'm quite lucky. I'll be able to just pick this up straight away. But you know, fair play to Microsoft. They're doing what they said they were going to do, and they are just, they're making this happen flawlessly. And fair play to them. Fair play to them. But yeah, I think that's quite an excited story, actually. And, you know, certainly one that we are definitely going to follow closely. I'm sure you'll hear from us once we start playing it too. So, guys, that was our slightly shorter episode this week. We really appreciate you stopping by listening. Just want to let you know a few things. So, we are on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. And we really appreciate you dropping by, liking those pages, following, but also communicating with us. We love getting in touch with you guys back when you post, discussing news stories. And then, like you saw today in today's episode, we also give you a shout out in the show too. You know, please give us a like, let us know what you think, and do that as well on whichever platform you've chosen.
As always, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.